This is Akashvani. In the program Money Talk, now we bring you a discussion on India's steady growth amidst global recession. The participants are Udyan Ray, economic analyst, and Arjun Chaudhary, anchor.
Today's topic of discussion with Udayan is about India's economy, especially with the World Bank projecting India's growth forecast at 6.3%. And this is despite the global downturn, outlooks of recession. Despite all this, India's projections are quite healthy, 6.3%, beating competitors like China. Udayan, a warm welcome to you on the program. What's your take on the World Bank's figures?
Well, the good part, Arjun, is that there are downward revisions. Growth rates for other countries are being revised downwards. They're being reduced in terms of projections. We are standing ground and it looks pretty solid. So from that standpoint, it looks quite reassuring, simply because, you know, when we see the headlines coming out of Western countries, developed countries, and some other countries, you start wondering how our country is going to fare. And the good news is that because the growth rate projection has been retained, it reassures us. It's worth pointing out, Arjun, that internally, entities like RBI, they are pegging the rate a little higher than World Bank. So obviously, they must be using some more sets of data. The interesting bit, Arjun, also is that it's being said in this particular opinion that has been expressed by World Bank that India would be in a position to grab the growth opportunity because it's maintaining its growth. No downward revisions are happening. Therefore, it should be all the growth opportunities that will be coming, it will be able to latch on. It actually makes quite a bit of sense because if you are going to be an oasis of growth, then capital and investment and business opportunities and business interest, you will be the recipient of these opportunities. So that's something which is pretty bright. And otherwise, overall sort of scenario where things are growth is becoming either static or growth rates are getting revised, or in some countries recession is happening. So we will take that any day.
So if you look at the economic scenario, globally speaking, you have oil prices. Currently, Brent crude is at $90 per barrel. Even though it fell marginally today, that does spike inflation. There is also the concern of the China Plus policy right now, with manufacturing moving away from China and into countries like India, Laos, Vietnam. And with the G20, where India has successfully hosted this conference, how do you see India pegged right now, despite what's happening globally and the headwinds there?
With the kind of growth rates we are talking about and general perception, at least with big businesses in the West, and the kind of strategic sort of pivot that our country is doing at the moment, all this is creating new sort of opportunities for India. And as I mentioned, you know, when you're growing at whatever, 6.3, which World Bank is saying, and we think that it's going to be 6.5, RBI and others, then you obviously are going to have, you're going to attract a lot of attention. We are already, as we know, we are the fifth largest economy in the world. We seem to be heading towards the third position. So that does excite a lot of big businesses across the world. Of course, when you're growing at 6.5 or 6.3, as the World Bank is saying, the important point to see, I mean, not to ignore, is the fact that we've got a very large population. We are the most populous country in the world. So therefore, World Bank is saying that, and I would tend to agree that we need a still higher growth. We probably need something like an 8.5, which in this challenging environment, global environment, may not be achievable. What we can do in this period, and which basically is going to happen, because you have lots of investor, FDI kind of foreign direct investment interest and other things, then what happens is you start building the base for the future growth. So when there is a rebound in global growth, you get that piece as well. And what is going at 6.3 or 6.5, what have you, it easily we manage to get another 200 basis point growth because of our global sort of activities. So to put it in one sentence, I would say that it's basically going to attract a lot of attention. It is already getting that attention, and you will find the FDI, you should be finding FDI figures going up. And you mentioned the China Plus sort of strategy. That is going to be one area where we'll end up becoming part of global supply chains. And the results, I suspect, Arjun, you would start seeing a very substantial results, maybe 2-3 years down the line, in a very big way. In small ways, you'll get individual projects, you'll see results, but in a very, very big way, and in terms of momentum, you'll probably take about 2-3 years. But it's a good period to build a foundation for taking growth to absolutely a new level and to a higher gear.
So core sector figures for India has been quite remarkable. It's also 40% weightage on the IIP, which is a factory output. What does that signal in terms of productivity in India, notwithstanding that the World Bank has projected a 6.3% growth for India, which is over and above the competition?
You would probably need that kind of figure to get this 6.5% kind of percent. It's also worth remembering that, you know, we went through that whole pandemic shock, and across the world, most economies haven't really got that mojo back. In our country, while we have got most of it back, still there are areas where we still need to get that zest back, those in terms of growth, mojo, energy in terms of getting that growth. So once we get that back, we'll probably move even faster. But it's also worth pointing out, you mentioned core sector, even the services. I mean, if you see the PMI figures, they are way, way above 50. I mean, probably I think they're going at 57 or something like that, which is amazing. So, and as we know, ours is a service sector driven economy. We are trying to also give manufacturing a boost simply because of its employment potential. So that is another area which has got a lot of promise. And as you would be knowing that, you know, you're having these many, many new areas even in the services sector, which is coming in, where you can classify them as services exports, like global capability centers that are being set up in India, where our qualified people are providing services in the digital world, and they're showing up in your exports figures in a very big way. So even as manufacturing and some of the other areas don't shoot through in times of global sort of tepid growth or recessionary sort of conditions, there are these areas, these pockets, ever growing pockets, which are going to contribute to our GDP and also our exports.
So since we mentioned about China Plus with offshore outsourced manufacturing taking place in India as well, for instance, chip manufacturing, where you have partnerships with companies like Foxconn from Taiwan. What about our immediate neighbors? How is it that it is at the same time we are seeing Sri Lanka or Pakistan, their economies are being seen as seriously mismanaged? How much of that business is actually going to come into India because of the political instability there and clearly mismanagement of the economy?
The government can actually claim a lot of credit, because the way it managed pandemic, they could have actually gone helter-skelter and be fiscally irresponsible. But because they were reasonably responsible, they didn't allow the slippage to become too much. Now they have committed on a path of coming back to total sort of responsibility, shall we say, fiscal responsibility kind of targets they have set up. That actually inspires a lot of confidence in investors, large investors, foreign investors, even domestic investors. That actually stabilizes your macroeconomic fundamentals, whether it's inflation, all the other things. And when you have these fundamentals okay, then what happens is, whether it's the stock market, whether it's direct investment, all the other people want to put in money because they know they're going to get a multiple of that money back. That has actually helped. But coming back to our neighboring countries, they're in such a position, even if we open up, their buying capacity is not going to be so much. In any case, China is, of course, we do a lot of trade with them. I think it's about $115 billion. That's a lot. That will only grow, notwithstanding the kind of some of the other challenges that we face. So I'm not seeing that neighboring countries being driving our growth. We are a continental size economy. Although we are a subcontinent, we are a continental size economy, and therefore it will be driven domestically, which we are at the moment, and to a great extent, and then the other large economies are going to help. So we'll probably be doing a lot of business activity with countries like the US, China, and countries like that. And of course, there are some very exciting new areas that are coming in terms of geography. You have UAE, which is of course point of transshipment and other things. So not only investments, but trade is happening. So lots of new exciting places that are coming up, and it's showing up in the data. If you look at exports and other data, it's showing up, and you can expect those where there is a lot of vibrancy in the economy, you will find them, India and them, doing a lot of business.
We are also finding that public sector infrastructure projects have really picked up. Today, the Honorable Prime Minister Shri Narendra Modi inaugurated these road and rail projects in Telangana and Chhattisgarh in association with NMDC. We're talking about metals and minerals exploitation in that Jharkhand Chhattisgarh belt. How do you see all of this coming together at the same time? Has there been a policy plan that was issued earlier being executed, and now we are seeing a dividend growth from that execution?
I wouldn't say dividend, but it's part of the policy. There's no doubt about it. It's there in the budget. It's like an open secret. They want the private sector to come and start investing, what is called capacity expansion. Now, sometimes what happens is private sectors keep sitting on the sidelines and they want to wait and see it out. And they're probably using up about 78 to 80% of the existing capacity. That's the figure that's going around. So you cannot wait for the private sector to start expanding. Therefore, what you're doing is you go and start attacking the infrastructure, and this is super aggressive. You can say that India is under construction in a certain way. Look at the number of kilometers per day of roads that are being built, the aggressive air travel sort of expansion, the dedicated freight corridors that are coming up, whether it's connecting the other roads that are coming up. Actually, very important, Arjun, even as we continue to clock about 6.3, 6.5 kinds. You see, typically what happens, Arjun, is in our country, every time we wanted to expand fast, suddenly we used to find our infrastructure choking up. Long lines at the port, long queues at the toll and things like that. When you have good infrastructure, then can absorb the new growth. And therefore, you don't get bottled up. And when you don't get bottled up and investors have a good experience, more business activity happens. And sometimes what happens is large business activities creates ancillary business activities, those service centers and the restaurants. Even as we are doing this, 6.5, which is good, but we need much, much more. We are laying the foundation for a much, much broader and higher growth rate.
So the ease of doing business and promoting business within the domestic territory of India. What about the export market? You mentioned about China. How has India been different from China? China, the Belt and Road Initiative has been a failure. It's been exploitative as well. How are we treating our trading partners in terms of creating infrastructure and getting a mutual benefit from that?
In terms of our exports have, to a great extent, I mean, on the high-tech side, the technology side, it's been mostly services. And it has been commodities to a great extent. In some areas, it's value-added, where it's gems and jewelry, etc. But over a period of time, the composition is changing, and that's what the present government wants to do. It wants to make sure that we are investing higher value-added, technology-driven, specialized sort of exports where people know there are only three countries which are producing something like that. Otherwise, what happens, Arjun, is when you are investing in commodities, you're basically competing on price. So something happens, some logistical problem that happens, like the conflict in Europe, or some pandemic kind of a situation happens, your realizations are not stable. So the diversification in terms of products, and you want to go up the value chain, that's being done. The focus on manufacturing is one of them, because in the services sector we were already there, and there are new areas that are coming in, Arjun. For instance, space. With the Chandrayaan came into sharp focus, defense has become another area. Huge amount of, in terms of a small area, sub area, drones have become a very, very big, large scale focus area in terms of private sector participation in space. Again, private sector participation. And all these growth areas also, Arjun, is also going to help be aided by the huge amount of startup activity that's happening. We are probably the second startup ecosystem in the world, which is like amazing. And so itself, that is going to bring in the dynamism and the diversity that I was talking about. Suddenly you'll suddenly find people producing space related services or defense related services or products, and you will find that diversification happening in what we export.
Finally, to ask you, I mean, GDP 6.3%, World Bank projection, you have manufacturing services that you have addressed to some extent. What about agriculture, forestry and fishing? You're seeing a lot of startup activity there as well.
What we probably need to do, Arjun, because we are seeing these restrictions come back and forth, you know, so we probably have to have a system where we are there in the market on a consistent basis. Not when we have a surplus, we go to the market and flood it, and sometimes we say, okay, we are going to restrict it. So we have to be a consistent player out there, and we have to get into more value-added agri sort of thing. So there are areas where we are not so great, in like in dairy, where we need to give protection, and a lot of countries who want to get inside. So we have to build that strength so that we can open our markets and also enter on a reciprocal basis other markets as well. So there are productivity and other issues. We have to work on them.
Thank you so much, Udayan.
Thank you, Arjun.
You were listening to a discussion on India's steady growth amidst global recession. The participants were Udayan Ray, economic analyst, and Arjun Chaudhary, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 92 8909 4044.